allowed us to see. He spared my life one more time. And because he has blessed us and spared our lives, we ought to give him praise. Because that's what he deserved. I wouldn't come to church if I didn't come to do something. I wouldn't come if I didn't have a purpose in mind. So that's why every day, every Sunday I go, I have a reason to go. Not just because I'm the pastor. Not just because I belong to that church, but I go to church because I've come to hear if there's any word from the Lord. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. So we praise God, and we count it a privilege and an honor to share with you on this day. And to Dr. Williams, thank you for the invitation. Dr. Williamson, thank you for the invitation. I don't preach long if y'all stay awake. But if I see you dozing, I'll get another gear and preach on a little while longer. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you now for this day, this time, and this privilege that you have granted unto us. Pray now, God, that you would send a fresh anointing. Father God, that you would move me out of the way, O God, that you will speak, O God. Use me as the instrument, O God, of your word, that I might say something that will help somebody understand who you are. Lord, we thank you, we love you, we praise you, because there's no one like you. The songwriter said, I searched the whole world over, and I still found nobody. So we come today, God, just praising you and thanking you for the privilege of just being alive. Because there are some that wish they could do what we are doing, but you've taken them home, but they're laying somewhere, don't even know what's going on. But because you have given us a reasonable portion of our health and strength, oh God, we come this morning just to say thanks. But you've been mighty, mighty good. Now, God, as the word goes forth, Lord, we ask you that it be all of you and none of me. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Praise God, praise God. Our scripture this morning, we take it from the book of Nehemiah. Book of Nehemiah chapter 6. Verses 1 through 5. Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. And now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there were no breach left therein, though at times I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem said unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Onon. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a good work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they said unto me four times after this sort, and I heard them after the same manner. Then Sanballat, his servant, unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. Praise God. Praise God. You can continue to read the entire chapter. We just wanted to Wanna talk this morning from the thought. The people had a mind to work. The people had a mind to work. We're living in a time when it's hard to find people of the same man, of the same mind and purpose, wanting to work together to achieve the same goals. For there is always someone or something that works to bring in division. Sometimes it's hard to get people to put aside their agenda and let it be about Christ's agenda for the church. What is the reason for this? Because people have egos that needs to be checked at the door as they come into the church. There will always be someone trying to stop what they see as good works. But when the people of God put their minds together, believing and trusting God, nothing is impossible. We have here in our text this morning a man called Nehemiah, who was also the king's cupbearer, but who was devoted to the work of God. And after learning of the condition of Jerusalem from his brother after the war had left the city in ruin, Nehemiah had a singleness of mind that he was to restore the temple at Jerusalem. But there was many doors that needed to be opened. First, he needed permission to go to do what he had in his heart to do. Not only did he get the permission from the king to go, he also had a letter from the king to show the other governors that he had permission to go. And not only did he have the king give him permission to go, but the king said, you can use the wood in my forest to help you with your desire. The text says that after Nehemiah had left and he arrived in Jerusalem, he rested for 3 days. See, the body do needs rest. But after he rested, it says that he examined the situation but kept all these things in his heart. He did this to hinder the protesters. He knew that they would find out sooner or later, but he kept it from them. He kept them in the dark so they could not plan an attack. See, sometimes you got to keep your mouth shut and not be like that old refrigerator that can't keep anything. Now, as Nehemiah goes to the people, he tells them, the time to build the wall will never be greater than right now. He tells them the reason that he says that. He tells them two things. The first thing he says, that the hand of my God, which is good, is upon me, and I have permission from the king. In spite of the fact that things were moving in God's favor in wonderful ways, there was still opposition to the work. See, we got to remember, no matter how good things are going, the devil does not cease his evil just because God's work is prospering. For those who oppose Nehemiah, he does two things. First thing, he says by faith, he says, the God of heaven will prosper us. Then he took a firm stand and said, therefore, we who are God's servants will arise and build. So you have to be firm in what you say. And say what you mean. A lack of a dogmatism an attitude only encourages the enemy to attack harder if you seem like you don't believe what you're saying. If the enemy is permitted to infiltrate God's work, they will sabotage it from within. Nehemiah had a job to do, and he needed people from all walks of life. But the one thing that stood out with Nehemiah is the continuity that the people had. People would build up as far as they could reach. And then another group would take it over and build up to the next section. The people had a mind to work. But continuity is necessary if a great work is to be done. One man, one woman cannot do it all by themselves. We need continuity in the church. Everyone needs to be faithful in doing their task, or many gaps will show up in God's work. There was contempt for the good work that Nehemiah and the people were doing. And unfortunately, there are times that is a time that contempt will show up when you're doing a good work. When you are working and doing a good thing, there's always somebody there to throw a monkey wrench in what you're trying to do. Unfortunately, there are times that's all it takes is contempt to the work. And it will stop, for many professing Christians can be easily bluffed out of their work for the Lord. Nehemiah's problem really got started when Sanballat and all the rest of his enemies heard that the walls were going up, and it was going up fast, and he was almost finished. Trying to stop the work, the first thing they began to do is ask a series of questions. Have you ever been in a meeting and had folks that really weren't interested in what you were doing, but just ask a lot of stupid questions? To try and stop the work, first they began to ask Nehemiah, they wanted to know the fitness of the workers. They wanted to know why was there so few working. They wanted to know the faith of the workers, the frequency of the workers. They wanted to know what kind of material are you using to put up the wall. They didn't really care about these things. They were just trying to slow the work down. But there comes a time when you got to tell folks. Nehemiah, getting tired of all of this nonsense, goes to God in prayer. And Nehemiah was serious about it. Well, look what he said to God. He says to God, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised." Nehemiah asked God to turn their reproach upon their own heads. He asked God, "Give them for a prey in the land." He asked God, "Cover not their iniquities." He asked God, "Let not their sin be blotted out from before thee." When you're dealing with the enemy, you got to be serious in your prayer when you go before God. See, when the unrighteous sees a good work being done, it becomes their duty to stop it. Some people will never work for progress, but will work overtime to see something hindered or destroyed. Yeah, we also have here, we also see here how important it is that for the work to get done, there must be a leader.
Amen.
Somebody got to be in charge.
Yes,
if you don't have somebody in charge, nobody's going to know what to do. Everybody's going to want to do what they want to do. But you got to have somebody in charge.
Amen.
And the leader that will lead by example, teaching the importance of working together.
Yes, sir.
Because of the work that was Nehemiah was doing and how fast the work was getting done, he received a letter from Sanballat and his cohorts. For they heard that the walls had been built and only the gates had to be hung. Because they did not want Jerusalem to be restored, they tried to stop the work.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So they send a letter to Nehemiah asking for a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
They really didn't have anything to talk about. So they sent the letter to Nehemiah asking for a meeting. Nehemiah quickly responded, I can't meet, for the work I'm doing is a good work. And I can't come down now.
Uh-uh.
See, a real leader knows how to spy out the foolishness that folks are trying to cause and the confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Nehemiah said, I can't come down now because I'm doing a good work. Yeah, Nehemiah realized his place was inside,
mm-hmm.
encouraging and helping the people, not outside talking with the enemy. To have come down meant the useful work would have stopped while he was wasting time with those who only was trying to delay him.
Right.
To come down meant he descended from devotion to danger.
Right.
How strange is it that no good work can ever be attempted without exciting the opposition.
All right.
And greater the work,
mm-hmm.
greater the hindrance will be.
Right.
But we must remember that no pain, no gain. Y'all unheard that. For no work for God has ever been done without obstacles. And oftentimes, the obstacles are put in the way by the very people it is intended to help. Here, leading into this text, we find a leader and people working together to rebuild the wall.
All right.
This wall was the wall of Jerusalem that had been destroyed in battle. The wall had been burned and broken down, and the gates had been burned with fire. In Nehemiah's day, the city that had no gates was a city vulnerable to an attack. But Nehemiah wanted to put the wall back, and the people had a mind to work with him. But he does something that should be a lesson for all of us. When all of this stuff first started, when he first got the message about Jerusalem, he was angry. The first thing he did, it says that he went and he sit down.
Mm-hmm.
He sit down and got his mind together.
Yes, sir.
He before he confronts what he had to do and the thing that was going to hinder him, he prayed.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Every temptation that comes to draw us from duty should quicken us more for duty. For any time the enemy is bothering you, that means he's mad because you are making progress.
Right.
The first time that Nehemiah prayed, he was a man of prayer, first of all. And he prayed because he wanted to get his mind prepared to pray.
Come
The attitude of his prayer.
Uh-huh.
See, you can't pray to God when you mad.
I know that's right.
You can't pray to God when you ready to tear somebody's head off. Nehemiah was mad. But it says he sat down. He sat down and he got his mind together. His attitude was right.
Amen.
The attitude of his prayer when he first heard about it, what happened to Jerusalem, he was very upset. Why is that important? He sat down and got the right attitude to pray. Praying is about your attitude.
Amen.
To talk to God.
Yes, sir.
What right do you have to go and talk to God when you're mad?
Amen.
That's disrespect.
It is.
You're going to approach the throne of God in a messed up way. Your mind, everything but holiness is running through your mind, but you going to a holy God. Nehemiah said, no, I got to get myself together.
Yes, sir.
Not only did he make preparations to pray, but he added something else in his prayer. He added some praise to his prayer. For he acknowledged the superiority of God. Because if we do not honor God in our prayers, he will not honor us.
Amen.
With answers to our prayers.
Yes, sir.
In the book of Nehemiah, it said he prayed 8 times different prayers before he took on this task.
Yes, sir.
And after praying, Nehemiah goes to the king to make his case and get permission. He received the permission from the king. The king's only question was, how long are you going to be gone?
Right.
You've been a cupbearer. Anything the king drunk,
uh-huh.
Nehemiah had to drink it first.
Yes.
If anybody wanted to do anything to the king, they put it in the drink. And Nehemiah, if he drank it, it happened to him rather than the king.
Well,
that's why you got to be careful who fix your... I know it wouldn't happen over here at Bethel, but be careful who mess around the stuff that you got to drink.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, bless his holy name. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Even though this was a good work, there was some opposition.
Yes, sir.
As in the church, some folks will not work with others for teamwork. I think they missed school that day when the teacher taught about teamwork and togetherness. And there was no I in team nor together. So it is not about one individual. It is about Christ, his church, and us. Nehemiah had a job to do, but he could not do it by himself. He needed all the people working as a team. Everyone had a job to do. They had different jobs. They had different skill sets. So everybody stayed in their lane. Doing what they were supposed to do. I declare today that if you stay in your lane, you got enough work to keep yourself busy. That you don't have time to try to get in anybody else's lane. You need to keep your eyes on what you are focused on. Because if you don't do what you're supposed to do, when everybody else get to the end and you're not there, then your part is left undone. So work out your part. Finally, after nothing else would work, there was a letter sent again. 5 times they sent the same letter. They wanted a meeting away from Jerusalem because, the enemy always tries to be slick. They wanted to get him away from Jerusalem because nobody would be able to see. They wanted to meet way out there on the island nobody knew nothing about. Because Nehemiah said they wanted to do me mischief. Yeah, they wanted to meet with him that nobody would hear nor see what they was going to do. See, the enemy always wants to throw a rock and hide their hands. But Nehemiah would not fall for the tricks. He said, why should I come down? Why? Give me one good reason why I should come down. Why should I come down and stop work? Why should I fool around with losers when I'm doing a good work? See, there comes a time in your life that you got to come to the point that you know that some folks. That some folks just is not any good for your life. Yeah. And one thing that we need to understand that I've heard people say, me and this person was good friends. And now we don't even talk. Don't get upset. What are you getting upset for? You got to remember that people come and go in their season. God put you and that person together because y'all needed each other at that time. But when you have grown beyond, or that person has grown beyond, God moves them out of your life or you out of their life because it's time for you to move on to something else. Like in the church, don't get mad when pastor take you out of office. Either God has shown him it's time for you to do something else, or it's just time to move you on the side because you are not about anything else. We must learn when you get an office in the church, you didn't come to that ain't your office. All right. That's what I always say to the ushers. They talk about my usher board. Deacon, those are my deacon. No, they're not. Those are my ushers and my deacons, and because they belong to the church, not to an individual. Your office don't belong to you. It belongs to the church because it's a part of the church to help the church to grow and to move forward in what God has destined for the church. Amen. Amen. Yeah, Nehemiah said, why should I come down and talk to y'all when all y'all want to do is just talk foolishness? Why should I come down to you when I'm about my Lord's business? Why? Give me a good reason why I should stop. Tell me. Nehemiah knew that all they wanted to do was stop him for doing God's will. This is for somebody today that you don't get sidetracked and caught up in the web that the devil is trying to weave to trap you and separate you from people that has a mind to work. Nehemiah was able to do what he needed to do because he had some folks with him. Amen. And when you read the text, it talks about how many people he had, it's about 40 people, but you would believe it was more people than that. But I believe that when God got something for you to do, he don't need a majority to get the work done. Because nowhere in the Bible do I see when Jesus did what he did he have a majority with him He always operated in the minority. Because when you got the Lord on your side, you got all you need. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this is for somebody. Don't get caught up in other people's foolishness. Don't get separated from people that has a mind to work. Find you somebody that's got a like mind. For Jesus said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. If you and I think alike, we can work together. But if I want to go left and you want to go right, and we pulling against each other, we find ourselves not going anywhere. That's why Paul says, I press towards the mark. Yes, sir. And as I press towards the mark, he said, there's one thing that I do. Forgetting those things that are behind me. And stretching forth to those things that are before me. Whatever's behind me, the Lord evidently wanted it to be behind me. So I can't see it. And I don't have to worry about it because I heard David say that grace and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So grace and mercy will take care of the stuff behind you. You just reach forth.
Amen. Amen.
Those things that God has prepared for you.
All right.
Yeah. Nehemiah. He knew what the people were doing, the protesters. He knew that he had some adversaries. But let me tell you, one way to defeat your adversary is by using the word of God, plus don't change your message. They came to Nehemiah 5. He gave them the same answer. 5 times. I heard another man, Paul, said, I had a thorn in the flesh. And I asked God to remove it. And every time I asked him, 3 times, the Lord says, my grace is sufficient. And anytime God gives you the same answer, you need to know that's where God wants you to be.
Amen.
So when people ask you the same question, give them the same answer. Because if you begin to change your answer, they're going to keep on asking you, and after a while, you are not going to know what you said the first time. But if you say the same thing every time, yeah, he gave them the same thing. He says, I'm doing a good work. So I cannot come down. So the second thing that we can do to defeat the adversary is ask them that question. Why? What have you got to give me or do for me that God can't do? He says, why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? But they did not stop. They sent the letter 5 different times. But Nehemiah's answers each time did not change. So I come to tell you today, officers, when you get in that position, you need to hear the words of your leader. And whatever those words are, whatever that command is, that's what you ought to do. And if you can't do that, You ought to say, Pastor, I can't serve in this position. When you're fooling with the devil, you can't change your message. No, you got to stay on point. Because he ain't going to leave you alone. He'll try you early in the morning. But even early in the morning, when I still got sleep in my eyes, my answer would still be that the Lord is. It might be late at night or any time of the day. It's still going to be the same answer. That God is. No matter what you're going through in life, don't let it get you down. But you gotta say to your problems, I know a man called Jesus, and he's able to take care of my situation. You just gotta have a mind to do what's right. And if you work for the Lord, work until it's time to hang up your work orders. And when you finish, I hear the Lord say, well done. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Well done. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I make a ruler over many. The people had a mind.